Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hey everyone, it's Brennan Taylor. You may have seen me on YouTube or even your television. Well, I'm starting a podcast called Sus, Share Your Scare, on Podcast One. Have you ever been in a suspicious, crazy, or wild situation? Well, on Sus, we're going to dive into firsthand accounts of all things terrifyingly thrilling, intense, and paranormal. From myself, from you the listener, and from some of my friends. You may actually know them. Don't miss Sus, Share Your Scare, dropping every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice. And the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com.
Well, we get into everything. Stromer, I would say in this episode, we get asked a lot of questions about basement floors, but I went somewhere that I've never been to before.
Yeah, that place is exciting, new. There's potential for a whole new book for you.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on. I do a little rant on dishwashers. It's all coming up. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Stromer, you live in a part of the valley where on Sunday it was
121, sir.
121 at the Stromer house.
123 because I was wearing a fancy outfit.
Cool cotton underwear, that's what you need when it's 123 degrees, and that's why I always wear my Tommy John. Made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow, it evaporates sweat super fast. Lounge pants, lazy day joggers, soft Zoom-ready tees and polos. Upgrade to Tommy John today. Get the enhanced, super breathable designs. Best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. That's the guarantee, people. Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Right, Matt?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
This is Corolla Digital.
Master Carpenter, who's here to help you out? If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church, but they're going to get it on. Stromer, you think he just pegged the meter, man.
Stromer had to peg that shit.
Meter. Stromer is over there. Welcome to Ace on the House. We'll take your home improvement questions via the phone or email or whatever else. You can tweet us or what have you. First things first, congratulations, Eric Stromer. You are a lucky woman because I met the breadwinner in your family. And yeah. Your wife is way too much woman for you.
She sure is. I'm just trying to hang on for 24 years. Just had my anniversary 2 days ago and just am trying to hang on.
I feel like I'm an employee at a hardware store and some young buck wearing a lot of bracelets, the wooden bead bracelets.
Yeah.
Young guy, West Side Dad, you know, he showed up and he said, I've never been in a hardware store before. but I think I'd like to purchase this beam saw. And I would say, that's got a 10-inch blade on it, buddy. And he'd say, yeah. I've never picked up a tool, but I'm going to purchase a beam saw. And you know what I would say to him?
What?
That's too much tool for you. And that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. You understand? That's what I'm saying about Mrs. Stromer now.
That's right. I got it, man. You don't have to. You're preaching to the choir, sir.
Too much woman for you.
Too much. You know what I'm saying? And lucky, man. Lucky. She's a force. And don't stand toe to toe when you have a dispute with this young lady. She'll take you down like Johnny Cochran. She's got that thing with the glove she can do, and it just takes you down.
So we'll focus on your area of limited expertise, which is construction.
I did provide some pretty good genetic material. Other than that, there's really nothing else to offer.
Yeah, she could have got that on any college campus, but okay.
I guess so.
What's done is done.
By the way, she had a wonderful time and really enjoyed it. Thank you for doing that. She was thrilled.
It's our Take a Knee episode, which is up as we speak, so you can enjoy that if you like. But all right, so home improvement. What's going on in the world? I'm working on fabricating a spiral staircase.
I'm working on creating a carriage door that has an entry door inside one of the four panels so that we can change this guy's garage into a living space / recording studio for his kids / insulated room, instead of having a everybody always tries to redo a garage and they think that there isn't a huge hole 12 feet by 8 feet called the garage door opening. You traditionally have to build a second wall to make it insulated. So that's what we're doing. But they want to have that carriage door look also with a door embedded in that.
Well, let's drill down on your carriage door. So what you're talking about is that kind of look of like a big, not in the, in this case, different. But if you take a look at some of the shops out here where the warehouses are, they'll have like a big roll-up door or big garage door almost, and then a door cut in the middle of it, like a traditional door that you could walk in and out of without opening the whole thing. So you can walk in and out of a traditional size door without sliding the whole thing open. Correct. But you have the option to slide the whole thing open.
And then the carriage door look is sort of like it would be a pair of large doors with hinges on either side of the opening. They have them a lot in the old, like, Pasadena homes and, classic architecture of the early 19th century, 18th century.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. You could get horses and buggies in and out and a car, obviously. It doesn't roll up, but it looks that way. But they want that look, but they also want to be able to walk through it as a pass-through door.
Well, I've done a few of these.
Have you made them or did you buy them?
I think at the party house in Sherman Oaks many years ago, I think I built them. I must have built them because there's just probably a regular garage door there.
Yeah.
I've made a few. I made some gates. Yeah. I made some carriage doors. So, the first things first is, are they rolling on the ground or are they sliding on the top? Are they sliding on the ground or are they hung?
I think I'm going to hang them because the driveway is so pitched that rolly wheel wouldn't work because it would get...
I like the hanging because the action is better.
Yeah.
On the hang.
Do you have a hinge source that you love for big, heavy doors like that?
I have gone to, in the past, Valley Sash and Door and, ordered the heavy-duty hardware, the heavy-duty hinges and things of that nature. But this is kind of pre-internet. You can probably just go on the internet and find stuff. But
Yeah.
Is Valley Sash and Door closed? Damn, they're out of business.
Are they really? No. Say it ain't so.
I'll show you guys what I'm pulling that from.
It's funny. The guy named Steve ran that place. The guy I went to high school with.
Yeah.
And Steve was kind of a hothead in high school.
Yeah.
And there was one in Van Nuys, I think. I don't know if it's still there or not, but maybe it's not there.
What did Hothead Steve do when he was?
Well, the thing that was funny is I was And there was another one, I think maybe it opened in Burbank or something like that, Gary. But the one in Van Nuys, my buddy Steve ran. Yeah. And I remember showing up there once. I remember driving there once when I was like 40. And I remember thinking, Steve was such a hothead in high school. Like just one of those dudes, you know, getting a fight with anybody or whatever. And then, but he's so mellow and friendly now. And I thought, you know, guys, it's nice. They get mellow. They get friendly as the years wear on. It's kind of nice to see people settle into that. And then I walked into Valley Sash and Door, and there was Steve behind the counter, and he had a forearm cast on. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like,
how did Steve come to play with a sailor?
What happened, Steve? And he either punched somebody or punched a wall. I can't remember which it was. But I'm like, all right, well, there's still yeah. that.
Yeah.
All right. So. I like the hanging ball bearing. I like the action of the heavy duty hanging stuff because when you really yeah. get the good hanging hardware with the ball bearing action and the doors, the heavier the door, the better the action.
Like, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I think that, and then I'll have them so they can lock in the slab and then embed within one of the four panels. Let's say we do two panels per door.
So are they going to be are they going to bypass each other?
No, I think I'm going to have them either A, able to open with a pair, or B, you can open them in two sections, like, you know, the center two sections.
So you're going to
four panels.
You're going to need the hanging heavy duty hardware.
Yeah,
you're going to need the bifold or the some hinges, obviously, for the door that's built in.
Right.
You got to seal the door that's put in, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm even going to bother because it's probably not going to be efficient anyway. Sometimes when you throw up weather stripping or anything and you know it's not doing anything, you're just sort of going through the motions.
Yeah. It is it's tough. I mean, sealing those kind of doors and sealing, especially on the big action sliding doors and all that yeah. kind of stuff, it's just kind of tough. And the tough part with the non-seal is like the gardener coming around with the leaf blower, you know, yeah. just brrr, and then yeah. you get all the kind of that dust settles on the inside and everything. They make big fat garage door but floor seals, obviously, the big rubber kind of thing you put on a threshold kind of seal action. Like you can get a little action out of that.
Yeah, that might be helpful. I've done them before where they work, and then about 3 months later, they call you back and go, yeah, the door was open, and my wife hit the edge and cracked it, and they, you know, the sun makes them brittle. I don't know. I've never had much luck with any of them.
So the door, you put the door in the middle of one of the doors.
Yeah.
And then they
can get in and out through a second door. It'll essentially be like a recording studio where you've got one door and then the second door opens into the space.
Do we try to make the door invisible with the hinge knuckles and stuff like that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, my friend, because I did also find a place that manufactures doors that can either roll up or are carriage doors that have operational doors embedded in them
mm-hmm.
that are sectioned in four sections that can actually come up and retract. It's a Canadian company. It really is badass. And then they go, hey, and the doors are R19 or R16. And then you say to yourself, great. But that means that there's still a quarter inch gap all the way around the entire size of the door. The R16 doesn't make any difference anyway, right?
Yeah, it's like saying, you know, this Frisbee is waterproof, but what about all the water that's just going to come in around it when you push it down into the pool,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
All right, let me hit JB Weld, and then we'll take some of your questions over here. JB Weld, DIY projects to get through, want to save a little money, want to avoid paying the repairman? Of course you do. Big or small projects, you always go with JB Weld, home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's got the word ordinary in it, and you don't want that. You want a stronger bond. You want a better choice. That is JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for over 50 years. Proudly made in the U.S. of A, people. And I use this stuff all the time. They have a variety. They have the metal repair stuff. They have all the epoxies. They have the quick setting stuff and the slow curing stuff.
Hey, don't get me started on that putty. That's
good. They got the putty. They got the instant weld, the super weld, the stuff that just dries fast, the one part stuff. Wood, metal, plastic, and more. JB Weld at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts. JB Weld. All right, see. Wants to know if the double dishwasher in the kitchen is worth it.
Ooh, I have it, and I took one out.
Oh, really? Let's talk to him. Brian?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on?
I noticed that the house that you had next to Vince Vaughn, you had two dishwashers in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, did that give good wow factor on resale? Was it worth it to have two dishwashers in your kitchen? If you could just elaborate a little on that, that'd be great.
All right. Well, I'm already agitated because I get into this every time. Look. You tell me, Stromer,
yeah.
Matt, Gary, I'm looking for your input as long as you agree with me wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Conditional input, it's called. Go ahead.
Yes. I went conditional input on my terms. But I've gone through this my adult life. The other day, I opened the drawer where the silverware was, and there was no forks. And then,
oh my God, I just bought the fucking forks at the store because I don't know where they go.
Crazy.
Where do the forks go?
What the fork?
So, what the fork?
And then Olga said, it's in the dishwasher. And then you open the dishwasher and you have to fiddle around a little because the knives and the forks or whatever, and you find the one you want, you poke your finger and you pull it out. And then you have this discussion. Is the stuff in the dishwasher, is it clean or is it dirty? And then you go, I don't know. I think it's, then you pull it out and you like sniff it. And then maybe you wash it, rinse it off anyway, just not taking a chance. Anyway, I then make this proclamation. We stand at the sink and we dutifully rinse off everything and often wipe off everything that goes into the dishwasher. Why not spend an extra 8 seconds on every item and then put it in the rack and then we will have our plates? I like when everyone clears out of the house, I'll have like a plate, a bowl, and a spoon, and I'll eat some cottage cheese out of the bowl. And then I just go to the water and I rinse it out with hot water and I rub it out and I just set it back in the thing. And then everyone else says to me, oh my God, that's gross. And I go, I don't get why it's gross. There's nothing in the bowl, but it's not really clean. And I go, well, it's dry. It's dry. It dries overnight. There's nothing can live on this dry surface. And they go, then they'll turn to their friend. This is Chick. This is how chicks think. They go, you know how the stuff, when you wash it, but you don't put it in the dishwasher, has that weird, like, musty smell? And then their friend goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know exactly. Oh, you do. You do, nutty, crazy, gypsy women from the hills. You know what. By the way, you want me to rinse one out and then get one from the fucking dishwasher? And we'll do a thing. We'll hang your kid over a fucking pit of alligators, and you tell me if you can smell the difference, you gypsy witches. And they go, okay, of course they can't. And then they go, but it needs to be clean. And I go, it is clean. It's clean. You're at the sink. You just wash it out. And it's like, yeah, but it's not really clean. And also they start gauging it like, well, maybe if you ate a plate of doll hair, that would be fine. But you're eating lasagna and that leaves a film. It leaves a grease. I was like, you're at the sink. You're running hot water. You have a sponge. Just wash it and then just set it in the fucking rack. It's 8 inches away. No, you want to fucking load up the dishwasher, put all the shit in it, run the dishwasher, which is a huge fucking suck. It's like a huge
hour and a half.
It's a huge energy suck. And then later on, open it up and then pull all the shit out. The worst posture ever is the thing. The fucking dishwasher drawer, the action is always bad on the rack. Like the action, you pull it out, it gets off its tracks. It's like, is it on its track? No, just binding. Lift it up when you push it back. Or because we own sinks, hot, clean water, soap and sponges and brushes and everything else, we could just clean our plates. We're three quarters into the cleaning process. I mean, let's really break down the process of cleaning a goddamn plate. First, transportation. We got to get it from the table to the sink. Okay, that part has been done. Then part two, we must run water, hot water, onto the plate and rinse it off and or wipe it off under the hot water. Okay, part two. Now, part three is you put it in the dishwasher, run the dishwasher, and then unload the dishwasher. My part three is adding 11 seconds to part two and then putting it in the motherfucking rack, which is sitting right there. And then everyone looks at me and goes, yeah, but that's gross. Yeah. And I go, how do you think everyone has done it through time immemorial? Number one. Number two, that's how we do it here. It's just glasses and cups and plates and people just wash it off and put it in a fucking rack. And it's like, we need a second dishwasher. And I'm like, for what? I don't get it. Just what if everybody just, what? Here's a crazy idea. It's a fad that could sweep the nation. What if people were just responsible for their own plate? But they went like, hey, use that plate. Then you just go rinse that plate off. You wash that plate off and you just put it in the rack and then it dries in the rack and then you reuse that plate. But that is that why such an exotic idea? Is that an exotic idea? What is this? And then everyone's like, you got to have a dishwasher. You got to have a couple dishwashers. That's the way it works. And it's like, okay, you're going to spend 40% of your adult life loading and unloading dishwashers, not to mention the plume of steam when you prematurely open it up, not to mention that move where it's like, we need the spatula. It's in the dishwasher. The dishwasher's running. Fuck it. I'm going in. I'm going to open the dishwasher.
I've interrupted the cycle and I have to reprogram it.
I'll be savaged by this plume of steam that comes out of it and I'll daintily reach in and pull my spatula out and then I'll wash it off again.
Right.
What is this? What is everyone's wife this way? And then what's going on? And how come once we're at the sink, once we're 80%, first off, I'm not working a fucking AIDS hospice. I don't need to sterilize everything that fucking leaves the kitchen. It's a fucking plate. It had this kind of food on it one night. Then it's going to have that kind of food on it the next night. We're not fucking surgeons. What's going on? Just fucking it had chicken on it last night. Good, rinse it off. Then we'll have steak the next night. What is this thing? We're saying, yeah, but you know, it smells weird. Well, then maybe you're not doing a good job of cleaning it. Right. But I bet you have access to hot water. You have access to suds. You have access to sponges with the Brillo pad side on it. Just fucking wipe it down and put it in the rack.
So, right. Yeah, two dishwashers?
So I had two dishwashers. I trained my kids to then just take 50 glasses and take one sip out of each one and put them on the counter because the guy that lives there with them, the dad, would end up putting them all in the two dishwashers, right? So it just trained them to not do shit because there was more cubbies for them to ultimately maybe throw a glass than if they got the motivation to do so, which they didn't. So then the second dishwasher broke. I took it out and I said, fuck it. You guys have to learn how to do your own dishes or I'm going to kill myself. So I took one away. Now I have one. I try not to ever use it. To your point, it's a nightmare. I can't even talk about it.
I've successfully navigated my entire adult life without using a fucking dishwasher. You can just clean. I get it. And then they go, well, what happens if you have a massive Easter party? It's like, okay, then use the fucking dishwasher when you have a party, but every day just fucking clean your
Jesus
shit.
Jesus didn't have a dishwasher.
That's true.
Speaking of Easter,
Have a cheap suggestion for if you do have to use the dishwasher, though. I got so tired of the is it clean, is it dirty nonsense. I went on Amazon and for like a buck I found a very small magnet that's red on one side and green on the other. It's about a half inch in diameter. You should put it on the corner there. Train the wife up, flip it over, green if it's clean, red if it's dirty.
So naive.
No,
I was thinking for
young,
Olga.
Naive
I was
Gary.
Thinking for Olga.
Gary. We got one of those with like, did you feed the dog? Except for the problem is the people can't remember if they fed the dog, also can't remember to flip the switch saying they fed the dog or didn't feed the dog.
Yes.
Everything is in question when you're dealing with questionable people.
I was thinking Olga.
Okay.
She's pretty good. Not for everyone in the house.
Maybe nobody does. Nobody does anything ever, Gary. The child that you now love and fondly gaze at and think there's a future, he will do nothing.
There's no future.
He will do nothing.
We're all doomed.
He will eat his food and put the plate under the bed, and then it'll smell like rotting things.
I walked out to my motherfucking backyard. I was standing there like 10:30 last night. I was standing in the backyard. Yeah. I see a bag covered with ants, teeming with ants on the other side of my back gate, my backyard. I go, what the fuck is that? I open it up. It's got the Starbucks big fruity drink in there. It's got the Starbucks pastry in there. I go, what? It's all sealed shut. I go, what is this? I go into the house. I go, there's a Starbucks bag. It's in the backyard by the fence. What's going on? My wife goes, oh yeah, we ordered Starbucks and we don't know what happened to it.
Yeah.
I said, right. Well, all the guys you're hiring to case our house to bring you food while you're casing our house, some of those guys are imbeciles. And this guy walks right up the driveway, right past the garage, literally goes to the back gate, like the pool gate, puts it outside, doesn't go to the front door, then leaves. And then my wife and my daughter are on the phone for half an hour trying to figure out with Starbucks what happened to their bag.
Right.
So that's what we're up against. So you ask me, Gary, you tell me, would that dishwasher magnet thing work?
Definitely not.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. The part about those is like, you know when you smell the fork and it smells musty?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you clean it the same way everyone has cleaned shit for their entire existence of this of humanity. Sorry, guys.
To our fine caller, though, if you do have two dishwashers and you're looking to resell a big fancy executive chef kitchen, yes, the look of two dishwashers is definitely hip and you know, on point as far as trend goes, along with the pot filler and all the other shit that no one will ever use. Mm-hmm. But it sure looks nice.
Yes. Hold on. Where's Brian? Brian? Oh, the pot filler. You. Yeah.
Sorry
Thank
about
you
our
for
rant.
The rant. Awesome. Yeah. No, I was thinking about resale because everyone's like, ooh, I need my chef's kitchen and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm like, so did it help with the resale?
I honestly don't
pop.
It's never going to hurt because, you know, when people spend a lot of money, they like the idea of redundant stuff and multiple stuff. You know, they like a wet bar in the master bedroom, you know, with a mini fridge.
I know you, Adam, don't lie to us. You totally, between your blinds that are automated, of course you mix cocktails in a house coat before you and the wife get into bed in the evening.
I like the idea of like the wet bar and the whatever, but it's kind of like the big freestanding tub. When's the fucking last time anyone took a bath in a big freestanding tub? Like I haven't drawn myself a bath in 17 years.
The
like,
fact that you even say draw a bath leads me to believe that you have indeed once had hot waters from an open fire poured into the tub by the knights, your knight servant.
Let's see. Best thing to eat for lunch on the job site that won't make you good. We'll talk to him. Let me hit Oracle here, NetSuite, and we'll talk about this. I have very specific thoughts about what to eat for lunch on the job site that won't make you tired, because, man, do I have thoughts. First, I'll tell you about NetSuite by Oracle. America's ready to get back to work, but to win the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million in business or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny, gives you the agility to compete with anyone, anywhere. Work from your phone. You don't even have to be at your desk or in your business. You can be traveling. You work. It's all on your phone. Join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite, right, man?
NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/ace. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/ace, netsuite.com/ace.
All right, let's see. Oops, hold on a second. Justin from Naples, Florida. I'm just going to talk to Brett, and then we'll talk to you. 32 San Diego. Oh, Brett. Brett the electrician?
Yes, sir. What's up? Hold on. Hi, guy.
Brett the messy electrician from San Diego. Or we don't even have to say messy electrician. We just say electrician, right?
Yeah, he leaves tabs. Yes, sir. Wire remnants.
Yeah. You want to know the thing to eat? I'm telling you, Stromberg, I don't know if you ever went through this in your career, but I remember when I started off digging ditches in, we dig ditches in Silver Lake, or not ditches, but people say ditches, but I was digging footings and grade beams and stuff like that. You know, we had a method to our madness. And I'd be digging all day. I'd be digging from 7 a.m. to noon, and then then we'd do lunch at noon. And I'd order the biggest goddamn burrito I could find with all the rice and the beans and the beef and the everything. It was like a burrito shack down on Hyperion or something in Silver Lake. This 10-pound burrito, which I'd eat the burrito. And then it'd be 12:30. It'd be like, all right, back in the ditch. And I'd like get up and I'd be like, I want to take a nap so bad. Oh, right. I'll blow the foreman just to lay down for 15 minutes. I would like lay down on the deck.
On an insulation bay, by the way.
Go ahead. I was so tired. And I've really realized what this is, especially after dealing with Vinny Tortorich. You have to stay away from the carbs during lunch. You can do protein all you want. You can do all the egg salad, meat, lunch meat, cheese, all the you know, almond butter and all the protein you want. Get the In-N-Out burger and get it animal style, or not animal style, but like
protein style.
Get the lettuce wrap, whatever it is. You get into the beans and the rice and the buns and the tortillas and all that kind of stuff, and you just crash like 25 minutes later. It's just so much.
Compound a bunch of coffee, and then about 3 o'clock after the lunch, you're done. It's over.
So carbs, and less carbs. That's really the key to victory. And what I've found is, honestly, you can just get up, have your coffee, put your MCT oil in there and your thick cream or whatever, and you can just roll right through the day. But I do understand. So I don't eat lunch here when I'm all day here at the podcast. I don't stop for lunch. But and the reason I don't stop is because I'm not really hungry, because if you get enough of this oil and this fat in you, essentially, early, you'll be fine. But I do understand that a lot of people who work, especially in a blue collar sense, use lunch as a reward. And right. I used to do that when I worked. Like, I'd be like, all right, I'm miserable in this hole right now, but in an hour and a half, I'm going to be eating a burrito.
Right.
And that was like a big deal. Now, I don't have the misery index now, so I don't need the reward index, right? So I'm just sort of content with what I do, so I don't have to dangle that carrot, that burrito out ahead of me. But when I had super shitty jobs, it was all about hearing the lunch truck pull up, right?
Yeah.
So, Brett, are you eating lunch from a reward standpoint?
Well, Ace, man, a couple of years back on your ACS show, you had said something. There's nothing greater than you were saying something about just making egg salad, right? And just having that shit in your fridge. I believe you're saying something like that. So I eat a lot of egg salad sandwiches, but the issue is not me. I do a lot of jiu-jitsu and I stay healthy. It's with my apprentices. You know, we'll be all day today. We're doing a rough in on a new job we have going, and you know, he goes up to the taco truck, and I look over at him, and I go, man, don't do it, man. We, you know, we have a couple more hours after that. It's going to be hot. And he gets his burrito and his real sugary Gatorade. And, you know, I was wondering your thoughts on it. And Ace, man, I was actually curious, what did you actually used to pack for your lunch? I've always wanted to know that. I've been a huge fan for years and listened to you for years and years. And what did you, because I'm sure at a certain point you gave up the burrito, right? Like, what, or did you ever pack your lunch ever? Like, I know it's a weird question. I've just always been curious.
All right. I'll put you on hold, Brett, because I know it's been 8 minutes since you've made a fucking mess on a job site. I know you want to get back to that. You don't have to work double time making a mess. Yeah. All right. My lunch experience was very different. If you worked at a place, I'd work all over the place. I'd work in the Hollywood Hills. I'd work in the San Fernando Valley. I'd work in Silver Lake. I'd work in downtown L.A. I'd work everywhere. When we worked for the city doing earthquake rehab in Koreatown, there was one of these shitty beef bowl type places that was like up the street that we could just sort of walk down to Wilshire and go there and for $5.99 get like the teriyaki bowl. So I will do whatever the local thing was without any real concept of health or weight management or anything, because I was 26, 6'2", 177 on my fucking feet, like sweating all day and like crawling under houses and stuff. I was never going to get fat. I was like, I was too poor. Later on, you'd get to a place that was more centrally located, and then you'd have to decide you want McDonald's, you want Burger King or whatever that thing. We do a lot of that. There were certain jobs that did the lunch truck thing. And then when I was working up in Malibu, up on Rambla Vista, that was the only job, or one of the few jobs. There was a job where I worked deep Simi Valley on a avocado orchard, like way up in the hills. Couldn't get anywhere. Couldn't go somewhere for lunch. But I do remember specifically when I worked in Malibu up on Rambla Vista and the house that burnt down in one of the many Malibu fires up there. I was fucking poor, and I'd go to the Lucky supermarket and I'd buy like a chub pack of those boxes of raisins, you know, and like a couple of apples and like some Triscuits or something. And I wasn't good enough or motivated enough to make myself like a nice sandwich and pack it in cellophane or whatever. I just had like a bag, like a shopping bag, like a plastic supermarket bag. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd throw like a hard-boiled egg in there and a packet of raisins and and an apple. And then lunch would come in Malibu, and everyone would go out to the balcony out in the back patio so we could look at the view, you know. And I remember like one guy was married, and he had one of those miniature thermos, those little chubby little short stocky thermoses, and he unscrewed the top and he had beef stew in it and his old lady made the night before, and other guys were eating like, you know, brisket sandwiches and stuff, and I was like, I had raisins and an apple, and I was like, ugh. I was fucking horrible at packing lunch. I would pack lunch like we weren't ever going to eat lunch, you know what I mean? I certainly wasn't going to get up early. I didn't have money for like deli meats and deli cheese and all that shit was super expensive. All the stuff that is kind of ubiquitous now, like you buy those, all the sliced cheese. They didn't have sliced cheese. They had like a block of cheese. You'd have to, you wanted cheddar cheese on your sandwich, you had to cut a bunch of little pieces of cheddar cheese and put them up there like mosaic on that bread. So I was always kind of fucked. Stromer, what about you?
I usually just grab a soup or something on the way to or from where I'm, you know, where I usually find like one restaurant that I love that's pretty healthy, and I'll buy some light thing because I don't eat much either until dinner.
There just wasn't the wild variety that there is now at the supermarket. There wasn't all the ready to eat shit. Like I would have got myself, you know, Now, I'd get myself the protein pack with the salami and the cheese and the nuts in it or something, and like the hard-boiled egg. Like, they didn't have all of that everywhere. There wasn't,
and
like...
We also didn't have nutritional information, really, at that time.
No.
It was sort of like, you know, there were fat guys and then there weren't fat guys. And there was a mystery as to who was fat and why. And now we kind of know.
Well, it's funny.
Here's what I've learned. Don't eat so goddamn much food.
I know, and I completely agree, but like I said, when you have one of those jobs that's kind of a shit job, and a lot of my jobs were shit jobs,
yeah,
and you start you're rolled out by 7 a.m., you're working at 7 a.m., about 10:45, you're just thinking about In-N-Out Burger,
you know what I mean?
And you're using it as a motivator at this point. You're like, I can't motivate till 3:30, but I think I could motivate till noon because it's 10:45 if I'm thinking about some In-N-Out.
Well, my guys that work for me, they actually bring a microwave to my jobs and they set up a dining area, and you know, all their wives make really fancy meals, and they drop the belt and they sit down at noon and someone's already microwaving tortillas and warming up the delicious polenta.
Because they're Jews.
Because they got good stuff going.
Now, the Mexicans' wives, here's an interesting concept, Matt and Gary. In the Latin culture, the wives feel a little responsible for the husbands who work their asses off. Like, they feel like, well, my husband works his ass off.
Right.
I should, like, provide him some sustenance.
You know what I
mean? It's a crazy fucking cultural concept. I don't know where they got it, but they feel like, if their guy's going to go to fucking hang sheetrock all day, then maybe they could spend 10 minutes packing him lunch the night before to sort of, you know, it's a sort of communal effect. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
I don't know that world.
Well, let me tell you how this world works in your world. You're fucking packing your wife lunch. She's a fucking winner, Stromer.
No, I may.
You better
I make
hope
her,
we don't
I
implement.
Her, I cook that lady dinner every night. Are you kidding me?
You better hope we don't implement this in your world.
No,
you're going to be fucking making sandwiches all day.
You're right. That's 100% true.
Hey, Justin, 27, Naples, Florida.
Yep, I'm here.
What's going on?
Not too much. How are you?
Doing well. What's up?
Oh, not too much. Am I allowed to ask my question?
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was on home improvement, and I just thought, you know, with all the rioting and the Marxist lunacy, I just thought, what are some good home defense improvements that we can all put around our homes with the threat of insurrection? Should we, you know, build moats, or should we stick more to like pikes and?
No, I like the pikes in the pit with the Rambo leaf mat that you slide over.
Oh yeah,
right.
Woven palm fronds.
I think they call that a Burmese tiger trap.
That's the one.
I need to do some Wikipedia research.
Well, yes. Let me explain. You take these sharpened bamboo shoots.
Yeah, but you have to use a Bowie knife that is really oversized.
But you guys are forgetting one important part of this. Yeah. You have to put elephant dung on the tip of the spear so that whoever falls in it gets infected.
Yeah,
understand. You need fresh dung.
Now, this is the most important part. Yes, and the dung matters.
Oh yeah, dung matters.
Well, so you die, and you either die immediately or you die over time with a staph infection.
Right. That's
sure.
Pretty much anything you need to know, you can learn from John Rambo.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, yeah. Holy shit, that really makes a lot of sense. Actually,
well, I'll tell you one thing: you didn't learn from John Rambo when it comes to protecting your home. You draw first blood. See, Rambo said they drew first blood. Don't let they draw first blood. You draw first blood. That's the only thing Rambo got wrong.
And spend an inordinate amount of time with a headband fitting, because it can't be too thick. It's got to be thin.
That's right.
Definitely.
You're 27?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I am.
Trying to think of what kind of flashbacks you could have. You know what I mean?
Because he's
27.
Some people my age were in Iraq or Afghanistan, but I personally wasn't. But yeah. I mean, that's about as far as we can go back. I guess we could.
Well,
we could.
I don't want
to
get
go back to when we were in high school. I don't know.
I want to get personal, but were you ever molested by, let's say, an uncle?
No, just at university.
I'm just kind of looking for flashback material. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. you're sane, Justin, and we appreciate that. Stromer, you want to hit your Geico over there?
Are you kidding me? Geico is doing some amazing stuff right now. Believe it or not, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's right, 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? That is never going to happen, but you saving money can. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. That's right. You got a couple of weeks still left over. Please visit geico.com to learn more. That's geico.com.
All right, Matt, you got a email question, perhaps a video question?
Yeah, we got a video question. This one comes to us from Joe in Kansas City, Missouri. It's a little long, but I think you'll like it.
Hello, this is Joe, and I'm looking for advice on a walkout basement floor. It is on a poured slab. The room is 23 long by 17 wide, including a few little hallways that will have to have the flooring extended through them. This room will become an office slash entertainment room with a custom drop ceiling that's meant to look coffered and is painted white. One of my goals for the flooring is to make this feel like a normal room and reduce the feeling of cold and moisture so common to basements. The main problem I have is that the slab was not floated well. In one 5 foot by 5 foot section, there was a 2 inch rise over a 1 foot run in all directions. I took a 4 inch angle grinder and ground.
Hold on. I'm getting hypnotized by his robotic edited vocal aspect to this entire thing. What the heck is going on?
This is a highly edited video, and he goes through a lot more information. It's very detailed.
A 2 inch rise over a 1 foot run? Is that what he said? That sounded bizarre to me.
I think he said in a 5 foot by 5 foot area. But yes, I think that is what he said. He's going to show some pictures.
No, he said in a 5 by 5 area, and then he said there's a 2 inch rise and a 1 foot run. He's going to show pictures. Go ahead.
It down, and I grounded so much I had to actually fill it up with some concrete so that it was flat. In other parts of the basement, the flooring undulates a quarter inch to a half inch. I'm not sure I can use self-leveling cement because these spots are very random, and in some cases the spot is high, not low, so you would have to grind it down. And I don't want to grind anymore, not even with one of the larger rental units. Ideally, I'd like to use vinyl snap plank flooring, but is that even possible? Could I install this dimpled underlayment and have that kind of make up for the flaws of the concrete? Would it stop the flaws telegraphing through the vinyl plank? Or do you recommend going to carpet? If you do recommend going to carpet, would you put an underlayment down and then half-inch mold-resistant ply followed by the pad and then the carpet? If so, would you screw the plywood in with TAPCON screws through the vapor barrier? For the carpet, I would have someone install it. Have you heard of any carpet squares with a vapor barrier on the back that you could lay down in case some flooding happens on the top floor and I could easily replace a carpet square? Or would you polish the concrete floor and lay down rugs and say, fuck it? If so, how does one polish a concrete floor? One note, I have new French doors that I just installed. From the weather stripping on the bottom of the door to the slab, I have at least an inch and a quarter of clearance. Thank you for your time and for your advice.
Very well edited. Thank you.
Succinct. All right, so the floor's got high spots and low spots.
Wait, is it a basement?
Yes.
Okay, it's got to be... It either has to have an underlayment or it has to have some sort of vapor barrier. Otherwise, it's death to the climate in the basement. You got to have something. What are your thoughts, Mr. Carolla?
I have an exotic thought. If you want an exotic thought, they have roof decking systems. The roof decking systems have pads. The pads are adjustable. The pads can be zeroed out and probably just go down to, you can buy a pad that's like 3/4 of an inch high. You have other pads that can go up to 3 inches or 4 inches or beyond. So there is a, you don't need to show us a bunch of pictures, Gary.
Oh, but it is showing. It is showing how much it's out. There's like half inch.
It's out. So, yeah. So let me explain this roof decking system. Right, they have stones like pavers, like 2x2, you know, lightweight concrete, like finished. You know, like if you went to a really cool W hotel and you went to the
roof garden,
the roof pool or the roof garden, this might be what we're talking about. They also have like teak or whatever that exterior wood is. They have panels that are like 2 foot by 4 foot, right? So it's like you're on the deck of a boat, right? So in this system, you get these pavers, which are essentially these 2 foot by 2 foot. I don't know, Gary, if you type in roof deck system and wood, just do roof deck system. So they make these panels and they make them out of stone. Or I mean, you know, it's synthesized, whatever. And roof pavers, porcelain says, yeah, that'll work. The top one. And then they make these pads. And if you scroll down, you see there's the pads. And the pads are adjustable. And you can zero them out and put them, you know, like a hockey puck, or you can raise them up. So you can get everything perfectly level with this, with these pads. And you could snap the whole fucking thing in place.
You could also insulate under there if you want.
You could insulate. You could put your vapor barrier down. You could do that whole thing. Now they have like a stone look. They have a wood look. I think they have a grass look. Not that you'd want that. I don't know if they have like an indoor outdoor carpet look. But Gary's scrolling. Okay, that's a way to do it. It's all modular. You could pick it up and take it with you if you moved. Not that you would. But they have these risers and it's all adjustable, and you could figure the whole thing out. It'll be a little bit expensive, but it's kind of cool. Show us one of the paver pads there, Gary, one of the white ones or the middle one or something. I don't know.
I wonder what the lowest you can go is. That's the only thing that
the lowest looks like about three. It looks like about 3/4 of an inch.
Because if he's, that's great. But if it's higher than that, door transitions could be a little awkward.
Yeah. It looks like it's about, I don't know what it says, if it says 7/8 or 3/4. I don't know what it says. But it
ranges from 1/2 inch to 2 1/4.
Ooh, that's kind of great then.
Just for the pedestal, so then plus the product on top.
Right, 1/2 inch to 2 1/4. So you could just buy the risers that go from 1/2 inch to 2 1/4, and you could level your shit all the way through, right?
Right.
Then you could.
And that would give you, you know, it would prevent damage to the flooring via water or moisture by getting up under that thing. So you could always remove the panels if they did get hurt or messed up by water or moisture. Or you could do a plywood subfloor and then put your carpet squares on top of that.
How are we doing the plywood subfloor when the fucking thing's all over the road?
With those things you just showed us. That's what I'm saying.
I see. Yeah,
I don't. You could throw plywood on them.
I don't think those are meant. I think they're meant to like lock in to the corners.
You're right. Based on what I was reading on there, it looks like it's designed to have the product go directly into the risers.
So the plywood subfloor is not really going to work because you're all over the place. So I'm going to give you two options. If, in fact, you don't want to grind, you got to get somebody out there with fucking big 5-gallon bucket, feather float, mix it up, get the fucking knee pads on and float the entire area. You could do that. And once you do that, then you could go vapor barrier. And then once you do that, you could go whatever you wanted. My modular system is definitely going to be more expensive up front, but you're not going to have to mix up, you know, 5 bags of feather float and float the whole thing and then do the whole, you know, whatever you're proposing is going to cost money too. I don't know. I would investigate my floating modular deck system. Stromer?
I would say if you want to do it on the cheap to your fuck it, just put carpet down portion of the question. Do the feather float, let it set up flat, walk away, come back the next day, do your carpet squares. There's a company called Floor, F-L-O-R, that have a vapor barrier backed floor tile that's about 18 by 18, comes in multiple patterns. Throw it down. If it floods, throw it out or replace it. That's the cheap version.
That's the cheap version.
The other version is Adam's version is great. I wouldn't get into the sleepers on the existing rolly slab. That's a nightmare. It will never be level. If you want to never do anything and just go over the rolling floor, carpet will be less obvious with half-inch humps than any kind of rigid flooring would be. So that would be that cheap way.
Yeah, and if you really want to get into the pressure-treated sleepers and a whole bunch of fucking wedges, I guess you could get into that, but that's a lot of labor. A
lot of work. A lot of labor. Leveling that out.
All right. Last but not least, JB Weld. JB Weld, proud sponsor of Ace on the House. We've trusted them for, America's trusted them for 50 years. And it's a world-class adhesive. JBWeld.com and retailers everywhere, including Home Depot. That is JB Weld. Doing a live ACS show and stand-up. That'll be the Tempe Improv. That's 18th and 19th this Friday and Saturday coming up. Also, Rob Schneider's going to come up on the 19th. Also, October 2nd, 3rd, Salt Lake City. Wise guys. We'll do a live Reasonable Doubt there, too, for like a matinee show. And you go to AdamCarolla.com for all that you need. You can check out all our movies at Chassis, CHASSY.com. We have a lot of movies to offer you there, mostly automotive and motorsport related. And subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/AdamCarolla. Stromer, you better make Mrs. Stromer a nice big Diablo sandwich for lunch, buddy.
I might make her a filet mignon. You know what I'm saying? Got to keep the home fires burning, baby.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.